Well, or that was the Fox one.
That was the Fox one. But,
this amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America.
All right, good evening out there to everybody tonight. I think I saw in the chat room, Katie just joined us. Let's see if we can get her on here. She's late tonight. I'm going to have to give her a demerit or two. Let's see, Katie.
I'm here.
She's there. Uh-oh.
Woohoo, I made it.
Okay, she made it. She made it. Man, she made it. I tell you, you had me sweating. You had me sweating there, Katie. I tell you, though, it's I was sweating before you didn't show up because it's already really hot back here in the studio with the lights and everything on.
Sorry about that. My Skype and my computer, nothing wanted to cooperate tonight, and I had to keep rebooting it and restarting it, and then it wasn't seeing the microphone, and then it wasn't seeing the camera, and back and forth. But
well,
finally here.
We're so glad you're here tonight. And if my producer or director is listening, please turn the air conditioner up back here, please. It's hot back here. Wow.
We'll
okay.
We'll send you some of our cold air if you like. We have snow today.
I, you know, some people are having snow. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're done with it, though. I mean, tomorrow is May. I don't want any more snow.
All right. Well, I've been going to Dayton for a long time. It snowed on us up there for many years in May. Okay, look, let's get this show started. Now, Katie.
Yeah.
You've got a choice. You can either take 100 demerits or you can open the show tonight. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Take Dwayne just said I should take the demerits.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I can open it if it. You just tell me what you want to do. I'll mark them
aren't
down.
Aren't we on the show already? I thought I logged in late.
We are. Okay. Oh. All right. I'll do it.
All right.
I'll do it tonight. Excuse me. Okay. All right. Here we go. Hey, guys. We got a little slow start tonight, but the person has been reprimanded. They got 100 demerits for being late tonight. Shouldn't happen again because the penalty goes up a lot more on the next one. Anyway, you're watching Amateur Radio Roundtable. I'm Tom Medlin, W5KUB. And this is where all the ham radio stuff happens on Tuesday night. So we're so glad you're joining us tonight. This show is also simulcast on world famous shortwave station WBCQ up in Monticello, Maine on 5130. And the owner of that is a guy that was one of these pirate radio stations back in the 60s and 70s. And he's been on a show before. I've talked to him recently. And we may get him back on here. And I got some video clips where the FBI and the FCC and everybody went out on a boat and they grabbed him and put him in cuffs and all that. So, hey, that'll make a good show one night. We'll talk about pirate radio. But, you know, he's gone legal. He's licensed now and owns a number of radio stations. Let me get back on track here. Today is Tuesday, May 30th, I think, and we still have a good show tonight. We didn't plan a whole lot of things, but some of our best shows end up like this.
It's April.
Yeah. Is this April? Oh, man. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You can tell I'm under a lot of pressure tonight. Yeah, this is April. Let's see, 30 days is September. Okay, two more days it's May, right?
No, tomorrow's May.
Oh, is it? 30 days has September, April. There we go. Tomorrow, yeah. Ooh, okay. Wow. Boy, I've really taken this show off the rails. You would think Glenn Popel would be on here with us tonight, but he's not. I think he's in the chat room. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We've got, of course, our great co-host that everyone tunes in for, Katie Allen out in Sundance, Wyoming. We've got Bill Brown, our master of high-altitude balloons, and we want to find out what the heck happened to our balloon between Japan and here. I want to know where it is, so we're looking forward to hearing that from Bill in a few minutes. And we got Rich Mowison on here with us tonight to talk about CQ next month. And tonight, we're just going to have a good time. I've got some pictures of ham venture coming up, and Katie's got some things going. Let's just go around the room here and say hello to everybody. So let me first jump out there. Hey, Katie, how you doing? And why were you late tonight?
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. Everybody's watching live or on the repeats. I was late because I was scarfing down the German chocolate cake that Dwayne made this weekend, and it was so good, and I couldn't stop eating it, even though it was already full. And I realized how quickly I had lost time and got down here to discover that my computer must have done an update, so my Skype wasn't working, and had to reload it, reboot it, reboot the computer like 47 times, and so I totally blame the cake. That's why I'm late. So, in other words, I blame Dwayne.
Well, I'll tell you. Okay, I will accept that excuse tonight.
I mean, if you can't blame chocolate cake, then what the heck?
Well, I had a Hostess cupcake, I think, today, so that was close. All right, so hey, did you say you had snow out there?
Yes, we started getting snow, what's today, Tuesday? On Sunday, I think it was.
Oh, today's Friday.
Yeah, it was Sunday. What day did Paul get here? Paul was, K9PG came by for a visit. He was doing a quick loop. Oh, it was on Friday. So then Saturday it started snowing a little bit. And it's been snowing on and off since about Saturday. But last night we got a couple of inches of snow. But fortunately, because it's a typical snow out here in northeast Wyoming for this time of year, you know, it comes down and then it melts pretty quickly. And generally the roads are dry, and they were dry enough that my mom and I could take a walk up the mountain today and at least get our exercise in. But it's still just kind of aggravating to look outside when it was nice and green, and now it's white again, and it's green and white. And it was a long winter, so we're ready for the snow to just be over once and for all.
All right.
I'm seeing people writing in the chat room about how much they love chocolate cake, too.
Hey, let's jump over real quick to Bill Brown down in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, Bill, don't give out any secrets about, you know, what's happening yet, okay? We'll talk about that in a minute. But Bill's the master of high-altitude balloons. We're going to start calling him.
I have a story about the Dayton Hamvention and snow.
Yeah.
Back years ago, when it was held at the end of April, we would actually get a lot of really nasty weather at the hamvention. One particularly cold hamvention, my brother and I were discussing in the flea market. He said, "Boy, it's cold enough. I think it's going to snow today." And I said, "No, Jeff, I've been coming to this hamvention for years and years, and even though the weather can get nasty and cold, I've never seen it snow on the hamvention." And so he bet me $20 that it would snow, and I took the bet. About 10 minutes later, he went off to one side of the flea market. I went off to the other. So we got about 20,000 hams and different booths between us. It starts to snow, big white flakes. And I says, "Oh, my goodness." He found me within 3 minutes with his hand out, and I had to cough up $20.
Well, that serves you right. Now, I don't know how many years you've gone there. We've gone now. This will be our 38th year, I think. And we definitely went back when it was in April. And I want to tell you something. I'm a witness. In a single weekend, it will snow, sleet, rain, tornado, flood, sunburn. What am I leaving out, Katie? All that.
I'm not going to mention the leaky.
Oh, the sewer.
I missed that year, so I'm not talking.
Did
about
you?
It.
Well, that was an interesting year, and we were outside. That was the sewer explosion.
Yeah,
right.
The sewer. I was there during
that. You were there. There. The sewer actually
made
exploded.
T-shirts for that year.
The sewer actually exploded in the parking lot out there in the flea market area, and they had to bring in a hazmat team, and they had the yellow tape out there. That was interesting. But you know, that was not the first time something like it happened. I don't know if any of you guys remember, they used to have the Johnny on the spots were inside the fence many, many years ago. In the later years, they moved all the Johnny on the spots outside the fence. But there was one right up there. It was a Johnny on the spot right up there at the back door where the hot dog stand was, and it turned over. And that was just about the same situation as when the sewer blew up.
Was anybody inside? That's what the big
question. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's inside or not, but let me just, I'll just say it. I'll describe it like this. It was a mess. Yeah, I'll just describe it like that, you know. All right, so Bill, stand by. And I'll tell you what, Katie, why don't you introduce our first guest? And you know him very well and have been with him a lot over the years in various roles. So
indeed.
Go ahead and let's talk about what is coming up.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tom, and good evening, and welcome to our friend Rich Moseson, W2BU from CQ Magazine. It's the last Tuesday. I almost said Monday. It's the last Tuesday of the month, so that means Rich is joining us for our regular update of what's coming up, and May 1st is tomorrow, so that means I'm going to be getting the email for my digital edition, I bet, so I'm looking forward to that. So what do we all have to look forward to in this upcoming edition, and what's going on with you guys in Hamvention? Will we see you there? And you start where you want. I'll let you start where you want.
We'll definitely be at Hamvention.
All right.
Tickets, got our hotel reservation, so we're set.
And, yay!
We're ready to come on out and see everybody, which we always love doing. And May issue of CQ will be with us there as well. And this issue is all about pushing limits. And we've got an article. We start out with an article on contesting in the snows of Siberia, speaking of snow. A little more snow in Siberia than you have in Wyoming right now. trying to set a new world record for distance in Arizona without snow on 78 gigahertz. Plus, of course, May issue is the results of the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest, and our contests are all about pushing the limits and pushing your own limits, your station's limits, etc. That's definitely a big part of that. Plus, we've got the Siberia story is about RW0 Alpha. If anybody has worked that station during the CQ Worldwide, you get an inside look at the station itself and the people behind the microphones and or keys, depending on which contest it is. Really, really cool story. In our VHF Plus column, Tony Emanuel, KHZR, who I'm sure will also be at Dayton, talks about going to Arizona to try to set a new distance record on 78 gigahertz. Most of us have never even been to 78 gigahertz, speaking of pushing the limits. And, you know, it's fascinating. I was just looking back at the very first issue of CQ in January 1945. And do you know that one of the articles in there was about operating microwaves?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had microwaves back then.
Well, you see, you needed to read CQ back in 1945.
Tom. Oh, wait. I don't think you caught what I was saying. Microwaves. I didn't think they had a microwave back then.
Well, we'll let that cook for a while.
Yeah.
We've also got the rules for the 2019 CQ Worldwide VHF contest, speaking of microwaves and such, although our VHF contest is only 6 2 meters, but again, a way to push your limits. And in our homing in column, K0OV talks about pushing limits at the upcoming U.S. Amateur Radio Direction Finding Championships, going to be this summer in North Carolina. It's also going to be the IARU Region 2 Championships at the same time. And contest editor K3ZJ looks at some of the operating challenges posed by the WPXCW contest, which, of course, is at the end of May, and several European Field Day competitions, while N200 challenges de-expedition planners to think small in terms of what they're planning to do, and emulate the pioneers of de-expeditioning, and think about getting, seeing what you can do, kind of minimizing, or not necessarily going on these mega de-expeditions, but operating small scale, like people like Danny Weil did back in the 50s and 60s. Our propagation editor, Thomas Hood, NW7US, talks about a satellite pushing the limits with the sun, the ninth anniversary of the Solar Dynamics Observatory, or SDO satellite, which has enabled us to learn all sorts of stuff about the sunspot cycles and what is actually happening on the sun. And this is out at this satellite operates out at the limits of Earth orbit, basically at a point where it's always in view of both the Earth and the sun. So it's also pushing limits. We've got an article on supercapacitors by Erwin Math of Math Notes, WA2NDM. Our emergency communications editor is writing this month about amateur radio and public health and medical disasters. He attended a conference on that and reports on the conference and the different ways that ham radio can help in public health areas. Kit building editor Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, who's familiar to most of you here.
Oh, we've never heard of him.
Nah. He's probably lurking in the
he is in the chat room
someplace.
Talking up Dayton with everybody.
No, he's writing about an offset attenuator kit and a cool component tester, both of which you can build, of course, since it's kit building. Yes. And our analog adventures column, which is fairly new, is taking a look at op amps. And Eric Nichols, KL7AJ, who writes that column, is going to be doing a several-part series on all sorts of interesting and different things you can do with op amps. And I see a picture of Joe there. So that's a brief look at some of the highlights of the May issue of CQ. The digital edition will be out tomorrow. And yeah, print edition should be on its way very soon. Hopefully everybody got their April print editions a couple of weeks ago already. And we're definitely going to have the May issue with us at Dayton. And we're looking forward to seeing everyone there. We've got still have our Spring Fever subscription special going on. You can get the special on our website at www.cq-amateur-radio.com. And we look forward to having anyone who is not already a CQ reader join the family.
Yay. I took advantage of the spring special and got my digital edition. So it was a great price and really super easy to do. I went online, filled out the form, paid a little bit of money, and voila. I've already been getting regular emails, too, with updated information and, like, newsletter stuff. I'm really pleased and looking forward to checking out my issue and looking forward to seeing you and the team at Hamvention. Will you be hopefully being able to get out of the booth and go check out all the new stuff so you can write about it for the next upcoming issues? Or
I hope to be able to get out and see stuff. I'm not sure if we're going to do the tour this year because it seems like we always end up leaving somebody out and gets us into trouble. So,
right. Well, as long as you can sneak out to go get something to eat, right?
And I am supposed to be doing a forum on I think it's Friday afternoon, on the upcoming 75th anniversary of CQ Magazine. January will be our 75th anniversary issue.
Wow.
Looking forward to that.
That's great. Well, super. And I'm just looking real quick to see if anybody... Oh, Jim, let's see, W5JCS says he got his April issue and really thought it was great. So he says, thank you to you. That's great. Well, everybody, and it looks like obviously we have a lot of good dedicated readers here. And we really appreciate you coming on to talk about the show, magazine, and we appreciate your support and looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. It's been a while. I think it's been since last Hamvention.
Probably.
So. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Rich.
Everybody.
We'll see you soon.
Very good. Good night, everybody.
Hey, Rich, feel
don't
free.
Don't leave yet.
I'm not.
Yep. Yeah, just feel free to stay as long as you want to.
Okay.
On show tonight, okay? All right. Well, that was great. I always really can't wait to get my CQ magazine. And you know, I never throw those magazines away. I've got like 4 and 5 foot stacks of them. I know Kathy can't understand why we can't throw away magazines like that. But you know, there's always something good in them, because you may not be interested in building something today that you can look back at an old issue and find, you know. A lot of good information there.
I have a question for Rich.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, Bill.
Yeah, as you know, I wrote a column in CQVHF, and I was wondering, do you have a digital back issues available of both the main CQ magazine and the specialty magazines like the great CQVHF you put out for many years?
The answer is yes and no. Every issue of CQ is digitally archived all the way back to 1945. Unfortunately, we have not been able to digitize the CQVHF collection, especially the issues prior to 2011 when we introduced the digital edition. Those do exist, the ones that were available digitally to begin with. But the earlier ones, the ones you were writing for back in the late 90s when we had a great time with that magazine on a monthly basis, are unfortunately not available in digital form as of yet. So maybe someday.
Okay. I have the complete collection here if you need it.
Thank you. They're on my shelf too.
All right. Well, you guys stand by a second. We'll be right back. And we got a lot more fun things to talk about.
Create your own band openings. ICOM newest SDR transceiver, the IC9700, is coming soon. This new radio is bringing direct sampling to the UHF-VHF weak signal world. The IC9700 is an all-mode transceiver loaded with innovative features such as dedicated amateur satellite operation, color touchscreen, D-Star capability built-in, RF direct sampling on 2 meters and 70 centimeter bands. It has a dual independent receiver capable of full duplex operation as well as dual watch and 100 watts max output on 2 meters, 75 watts on 70 centimeters, and 10 watts on 1.2 gigahertz. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
All right, cool. And we still got our guest on here, and I'm excited about talking with Bill here next. We got a project going on, and I want an update. But first, I've got to do this. Everybody has seen this. Everybody has heard me talk about it. So guys, our Dayton Hamfinchin webcast. And, you know, we get into arguments on Facebook. That's not Dayton anymore. It's Xenia. Well, it's a registered trademark. It's called the Dayton Hamvention. If you look at their page, you'll see it's called Dayton Hamvention. Right. And everything they send out called Dayton Hamvention, it's just in a different town. Anyway.
And it's the Dayton Amateur Radio Association that runs the thing.
That's correct. So. That's correct.
And even when it was at Hara, it was in Trotwood.
That's right.
That's true. It was in Trotwood. All right. So let me get to the point here real quick and get this out of the way. We're going to be streaming 50 hours. I got a little thing here. We're going to be streaming 50 hours, guys. That's 50. That's a lot of hours for you to watch. But everything is going to be recorded, okay?
Now, that's a lot of time.
we're going to start on Wednesday the 15th, and you'll watch us drive our 10-hour drive. Hopefully, some of the things that happened in the past will not happen this time, like being stopped doing 89 and a 70. But I want to thank all the people in the chat room that were taking up the collection of Bells Out of Jail. I really thank you for that. We don't think that's going to happen this time. Maybe Kathy be driving. It could. She's, you know. Oh, by the way, and if I ask for a price check, like on the webcast, if I ask for a price check on aisle 9, that's code for you guys in the chat room to look at the APRS and tell me how fast Kathy is driving. So that's just a little secret that we have here. Now, back to this. Guys, it's going to cost us a little over $3,000 to put on this 50-hour marathon for you guys of ham radio. And you know, there's a lot of people that can't go to this. Either they're sick, they don't have any money, they're getting nearly too old like me, or they're too young. You know, they're 11 or 12 years old, they're in school. You know, a lot of people can't go, and there's people overseas that can't go. So that's why we have our webcast, is to bring ham radio to them, to take the ham vision to them. $3,000 is a lot of money. We do not, if you notice, we get pretty hot and sweaty there, and very tired because we webcast the entire day there. We don't sell anything or look around. It's totally business, it's totally the show to bring it to you guys. If you can, we're taking any support donations of $10 or more, and we're going to put your name for every $10. We're going to put your name in a special drawing for this CAA 500, not this one, but a new one, CAA 500 Mark II. And this is a great antenna analyzer. It goes up to 500 megahertz. It does the plots and everything down here. You can do multiple plots. You can compare antennas and adjustments and so forth. It's got the analog needles, and it also reads out on the display here. So if for every $10 that you put in between now and Saturday at midnight, Hamvention, we're going to put your name in a hat for a chance to win this. So $20 gets you two chances, $30 gets you three. Tell you what, you put $1,000 in, I'll give you a couple extra chances, you know, for it. But we've done this for the last couple of years. It's really helped on our trip, and it's turned out to be a great product. This thing feels like a brick. It is heavy, all solid metal, and I think you'll like it. So, you know, if you can, donate a little bit. And let me just say this: if you win, I say you win a $200 prize. You know, hey, throw $10 in the kitty, and that'll get you a chance to win this, and it'll also help us out. And you'll get a nice $200 gift in the mail. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you want to, up at the menu at the top of the page, there's it's called Prizes, Dayton 2019. You click on that, and you can see the prizes that we have lined up right now. So get ready for some fun. You do not have to donate to win prizes. We've got about 50 prizes we're going to be giving away. All you got to do is when Hambot ask you, are you here? Then all you got to do is say, yes, I'm here. You will win the prize. So, Hambot is a great asset to our show. He does the work for about three people. We couldn't handle the volume that we're handling now without Hambot. So got that over with. Got a lot of things going. Hey, let's jump back to Katie real quick. Katie, you you had a visitor, and also you got a new mobile rig or something, didn't you?
Yeah, well, many of you guys might know of Paul Gentry, K9PG, otherwise known as Dipolio. And he's out of Illinois with a 9 call, of course. But he decided at the last minute to take a quick trick around. He's been trying to, you know, visit all 50 states and made a loop into South Dakota and up into Wyoming and around, and was going to go right by my house. So worked out on Friday. He stopped by, and both mom and Dwayne were home, so it was great. So he got to meet my mom, and which he says was a highlight of his trip, meeting WY7MOM. So I said, well, of course it is. And so we got to show off our towers in the shack a little bit, and it was really maybe 15-minute visit, and then off he went to Devil's Tower and continue on. But it was kind of fun. And we told him, I said, well, if you're looking, you know, while you're on the interstate at about a certain point, you can actually see our tower. And he was able to figure it out and find it. So that's
kind
of fun.
Now, you can see your tower from like 300 miles away, can't you?
Well, not that far, but about, I don't know how many miles away, maybe 5. Well, if you know where to look, about 12, he says, actually.
Oh, wow.
You just kind of have to know where you're looking. But
cool.
Yeah, and we installed a new radio. We got a new radio for the car. We've been without a, you know, I got my car 3 years ago. We got a little Ford Escape, and I've been talking forever about putting a mobile rig in there, and finally got around to it. And, you know, what really instituted that was our new granddaughter and driving out to Fargo and visiting on a regular basis. And said, all right, we need to get a rig in the car. And we got a new, the Yaesu 8900, and Dwayne created a couple of brackets and got it installed, and even a little speaker so that we can hear really well. And so last weekend when we went out to go visit everyone, And we got the R Finder system, so we could find out where all the repeaters were. And I tell you what, that is pretty slick. And I know we've had Bob from R Finder on here before, and we might want to have him on again sometime soon now that I've actually been putting it to use. But I think the first time Dwayne put out a call, he got a response right away. We were really excited about it. So we went through some of the, granted, you know, driving from Wyoming and North Dakota is in exactly, you know, the metropolis of ham radio operators all over. But there's actually quite a few along the way, and he was able to make a bunch of contacts finding people on the area repeaters. And so that was really kind of neat, and we're really happy with the radio. It programs up pretty easily, really good audio quality, and he was getting good reports back too. And so it was a lot of fun. It's kind of nice to have a mobile rig in the car again, and allow us to stay a little bit more ham active when we're out and about. So that was kind of fun. So that was all I was going to share. Nothing too terribly exciting, but fun for us.
Well, that sounds like fun. And yeah. You got your new mobile rig and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, it was a good excuse since we're, you know, driving back and forth to Fargo, which is an 8-hour drive. And, you yeah. know, now, you know, not that we didn't want to visit the kids more often, but since there's a granddaughter in the picture, you know, we tend to make a road trip a little more often now. So that's a good reason to get in the car and drive 8 hours about once a month or so.
Okay. I was going to show you my new mobile rig. There we go.
Yeah. What do you got?
There's my mobile rig.
Oh. Wow.
This is my mobile rig right here.
Is that for your remote setup?
This is the new MFK Rig Pi that I've been beta testing.
Oh, wow.
Let's see if I can get a good shot of this. You can see. See if I can. I'm not doing too good here. There we go. I can't watch it, but see, the tuning works, all the buttons work. You have total functionality of your radio.
That's
wild. Guess what? We can just stick this in the back seat, and guys can plug a headset in here and make contacts the whole trip we're driving up there. I tried a mobile rig in my truck. I never could get rid of the ignition noise. I didn't like the antenna. It was just a mess. But boy, now I've got 80 through 6 meters. In the mobile now, and not afraid it's going to get ripped off either. And I've got an antenna outside that's pretty high. So we'll make contacts with you guys with our new Rig Pi, and MFK is going to announce that. They're going to announce that this year as a new product there at Hamvention this year. So Katie, you need to get one,
and yeah,
we can talk Rig Pi to Rig Pi.
All right. I have to check that out. That looks kind of neat.
And guess what?
Like like a iPad or something? Or
you can use it on
a tablet?
You can use it on anything that has a browser, a tablet. You can use it on a smartphone. I can do the very same contacts with my telephone and get the same screen. It does not have to be Droid. It can be any operating system, Windows, Linux, you know.
Yep.
A Droid phone, Apple, Mac, anything that's got a browser will work. So that's the neat thing about it here.
That's really cool.
All right. Well.
Yay. Let's hear about a balloon.
Let's go out. Let me see if I can bring Bill in here.
We're going to hear about the balloon.
Now, Bill, I want to tell you something, Bill. Let me pull it up here. I have been watching this thing a long time. And here it is right here. You know, we were in the dark. Oh. It went over India. It was, you know, first of all, when it went over the ocean, we lost it. When it went over Africa, we lost it. When it went over India, we lost it. I was about to give up. And you said it's going to be over China at this hour. And sure enough, it popped up over China
within
at that
about
hour.
An hour.
Man, I mean, it popped up, man, right over China right there. And let me tell you, that was a big surprise. So I know you know where it is. Okay, now. Here's what I'm worried about, Bill. After we hit Japan, I watched the sucker go up and down like a yo-yo. I saw it go down to, I was counting, I was ready to throw machine guns and everything overboard to try to lighten the load, because I watched it go from 21,000 feet down to 11,000. Every 2 minutes, it dropped 500 feet, man. It was going down. And then it started going up. But here's my worry. My worry is, There's the proposed or the predictions of the wind from last known spot there on the left there near Tokyo to the U.S. I'm afraid we took that stupid green one up to the North Pole or wherever that sucker's going. What can you tell us, man?
Do you think it's either at Superman's Fortress or it's at the Santa's Workshop right now? Well, but no, actually, what happened was we flew across the Atlantic. The last known position was in the Caribbean, just north of Venezuela. And then it cut across the middle of Africa, middle of North Africa, Saudi Arabia. And there are no APRS ground stations or really any amateur radio activity of any kind in that region, except for one exception. On your credits that you show at the opening of your show, you always show A71A, the booth they had at the Dayton Hamvention a couple of years ago from the Radio Society of Qatar, the Qatari Radio Association. And I happen to know a fellow, Jose, A75GE, who lives in Qatar, works there. He's actually from Spain, but he works in the oil industry, I believe. So he's there, and he set up an APRS iGate and digipeater right there in Qatar, even though he's the only one on APRS in the whole region. He does that simply to follow his activity when he drives around town, and also to chase these balloons that happen to fly over the region. He's very excited about that. And I also have a friend in Kuwait who also has set up an APRS station when there are none around for many thousands of miles. Unfortunately, we flew over. I looked at the prediction after it popped up again over China. The prediction showed it flew over Qatar during the middle of the night, and of course you're totally solar powered. So that's why Jose A75GE was not able to receive it. But the curious thing is, 3 hours after last week's show, it showed up over China, right on cue, right almost to the hour and within 100 miles of the wild prediction that I came up with, because it was a week-long prediction, which can be terribly inaccurate. But it showed up within 100 miles. It was just north of Hong Kong. And right almost to the minute, it showed up 3 hours after last week's show, flying beautifully, and flew right across China. I believe it went across Shanghai and headed off towards Japan. Well, unfortunately, I looked at the weather forecast, and there was a tremendous storm on the southern edge of Japan. And it rammed right into that, right after sunrise. It was doing great for about an hour, and then it started a wild ride up and down through the clouds and the storms. What happened was, and there's the last known position at 11,000 feet as it was just east of Japan, having skirted along and crossed over portions of Japan during that day, and it was a wild up and down ride. And what happened was it collected ice in the upper clouds and descended, because now it only has 3 grams of positive lift. It doesn't take much ice to collect to lower the altitude and start coming down. But once it hit about 11,000 to 12,000 feet, turned out that's the freezing level at this time of year. The ice started to melt, and it bobbed along at the freeze line at about 12,000 feet for most of the day. Now, I don't know if it came on down or whether it finally, the ice may have melted and it may have come back up. But if it was at that lower altitude and stayed there, it's going to take probably an extra few days to a week before it would show up on the west coast of the United States. There was a balloon that was right behind it, one day behind it, that my friend VE3KCL was flying from Canada, and that's the one that has been around the world, I believe, 3.5 to 4 times, and that's a whisper balloon, and he followed the same track as the prediction, and he is currently over the west coast of the United States. So,
is that it?
But
there?
He was flying at our regular altitude. See, there he is right now over Southern California. So I would have expected your balloon to do the same thing. So the likelihood is either it stayed at that low altitude and is going to be a couple of days behind Dave's balloon here, or it came on down because there were several lines of storms that would have to cross across the Pacific, and you may have splashed down, and maybe some Japanese fishermen will eventually haul it in. Now, that'd be quite a catch.
Well, you know, I'm glad it stayed about 21,000 feet across Africa and the Middle East, and, you know, then it got down to 11,000. Now, I'm glad it stayed up because Mount Everest was somewhere in there, wasn't it? Kind of in between here, somewhere.
Actually, you were around 29 to 30,000.
Oh, yeah, feet. Yeah. Yeah,
and Mount Everest, you probably did cross very close to Mount Everest, so you might have landed on Mount Everest by 34 feet because Mount Everest is 29,034 feet.
Gee, we got that close, didn't we?
And in fact, DeLorme makes a tracker, an Iridium satellite tracker for hikers, and I tried one in a balloon, and it stopped reporting after 29,034 feet. So I asked the engineer why that was. I believe in their later models of that. It's called the InReach. I believe they've changed that in the later models. But the first model that came out, I asked the engineer, why would it stop at 29,034 feet? And his answer, which seemed quite logical, was that he didn't expect anybody to be hiking any higher than Mount Everest. He never thought that we'd be flying them with amateur radio balloons into the stratosphere.
Yeah, well.
But you stayed up 14 days.
Yeah.
And traveled two-thirds of the way around the Earth on a little party balloon, and that's pretty impressive.
It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know,
it really is.
You know, I keep reading about hydrogen versus helium and rubber balloons versus the Mylar balloons. Of course, the Mylar balloons, they've got that little seal or that little seam around it. You know, I guess that's where it might leak. So,
we actually used hydrogen for this flight.
Uh-huh. So, now, my understanding is hydrogen is like two atoms versus one or something with helium?
It
is bigger.
Yes. But it actually doesn't leak as much as helium would over a course of time.
Yeah.
And you get more lift out of it, so it is a superior gas to use for these kind of balloons. And safety handling, as long as you're careful not to smoke around it or scuff your feet on some carpet and create a spark, I think you're pretty safe with hydrogen.
Yeah.
There's some safety precautions.
Well, you know,
taken. I wouldn't inflate it inside the house. I did this in my barn where there's a lot of airflow.
Yeah, and if you blow the barn up, that's not a big deal. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying and a lot of learning about things. And, you know, I didn't realize this, and I don't know if I caught it or was asleep in chemistry in college, but helium is actually a scarce element on Earth. There's not that much helium, and they think we're going to run out someday. And it basically comes out of the ground.
There's only a few gas wells where you can get helium from. It's a product of radioactive decay deep within natural gas fields. And Texas, Amarillo, Texas, is one of the primary sources of helium in the world. There are a couple locations in Russia as well, but primarily... Texas is the biggest producer of helium, and they had a gigantic underground reservoir of helium called the National Reserve, but there was a mandate maybe a decade ago to start selling that off, and unfortunately it has also started to create a helium shortage because MRI machines use probably the majority of helium in the world, and so they take priority, and it's getting difficult to get a hold of helium If you're just an everyday consumer and you want to buy it from a gas supply store,
and hydrogen, of course, hydrogen is
price hard.
Hydrogen is probably one of the the most available.
It's very cheap to get a tank of hydrogen. Out there. That's very, very inexpensive.
And I'm guessing because of helium becoming scarce, I'm guessing that hydrogen is cheaper than helium.
Oh, by far. For basically, when we fly the big weather balloons, it can take a 200 cubic foot tank of gas to inflate one of the big weather balloons. And the cost for a big tank like that for hydrogen is around $50 or so. But the same tank of helium, I've seen it range anywhere from $150 to $400, depending on where you are buying it from and what arrangement you have with the gas supply company. So we're having a great plane super launch in Pella, Iowa this year in the middle of June. And we fly 10 of these amateur radio balloons all at once. And we'll be flying some Pico balloons as well. So there'll probably be about 13 or 14 amateur radio balloons flying all at once. We have a conference on Friday, and then Saturday we do this crazy, wild mass launch, and then the great fun of tracking them down across the farmland of Iowa. So we always have a good time with that. We have people from around the country and around the world attend it. But the last year or two, we've been flying mostly hydrogen because of the great expense of helium now. So most of the flights for the teams all have opted for hydrogen, with few exceptions.
Well, tell us, do you think we're going to be able to get the Super Duper balloon off before Dayton?
Yeah, so I think so. There are some windows of opportunity coming up before Dayton, and I will do my utmost to get the Whisperer balloon on the big balloon floating around 42,000 feet, and I hope to have it in the air a few days before Dayton, so that it's be nice and flying that you can demonstrate during the show at Dayton. So we should be able to get that off the ground, because now we're into May, where we get a lot better days for surface conditions.
Yeah,
unless it snows, of course.
So I guess you'll call that one W5KB-2. I've got to change the number of my APRS in the truck, or on the way to Dayton, people are going to see us over over Europe somewhere.
There you go.
So I'll make the truck number 3. So we'll stick with number 2.
Well, I can change it to anything you want. If you want me to change the balloon to -3, I can certainly.
No,
just
go with 2. That's fine. Hey, here's a question from AC5CM here. He wants to know, does the board, your little SkyTracker, does it capture a transmit log on itself? So in case the board is recovered, you know, you could look at what coordinates it traveled?
There are some experimenters that have been doing that. They store as compressed data right in the APRS transmission. And so when it does see a location where there's getting ground reception, it will send a couple-day backlog, a few sample positions embedded within the standard transmission. And there's several of them. Experimenters have been doing that and can recover the data when you are out over the ocean on an APRS. I have not implemented that in my board because it adds to the length of the transmission. But I'm considering doing that for these flights that go over areas of no coverage for days on end.
Yeah, well, and your SkyTracker does so much, but you got to realize too that the Earth's a pretty big place, and this thing may go down someplace where you can't find it. And I don't know how you guys do it. Let me tell you. I mean, you know, 50 years ago when I got in ham radio, if I did this, I would have probably designed a little container up there with a little trap door on it. And I would drop the breadcrumb like every, a few hundred yards as we traveled. That way we'd know where it went.
I have done that for schools where they put their name on a paper airplane, and we have a trap door, and we drop them their paper airplanes out from 20 miles above the earth at 100,000 feet and see if we get any responses. And we have gotten a couple of responses back from people that find them out in their field or in their front yard. And some who have traveled, you know, 20 or 30 miles distance from where it was dropped.
Oh, yeah. I've flown some airplanes myself out of a high-rise office building, like the 30th floor. And it's amazing. You can watch them. They'll stay up sometimes 30 minutes. It's just amazing how they'll stay up out here and keep circling.
We actually dropped a four-foot paper airplane with a tracker on it, a really lightweight tracker. It was the predecessor to my Sky Tracker.
Yeah.
And this one transmitted on teletype. And we tracked that. We dropped it at 60,000 feet from the main payload. And it flew in a big circle and landed about 7 miles away from our regular payload when it parachuted down. Of course, the regular payload hit a power line. We had to get the power company to come out to rescue it. But we found the paper airplane in a woods. It made it through the trees, and it's lying on the floor of the forest.
Did it have a Model 28 attached to it?
Let me tell you guys, we can talk a long time about teletype, because I went to teletype school for 1 year in the Air Force. Model 28s, you know, Model 15s, Model 14s, Model 35s, Kleinschmidt, all those, you know. But we won't talk about teletype tonight.
But
Wayne's just cracking up in the background there.
Yeah, teletype is one of the easiest modes that you can encode. And so my very first experiments on these Pico transmitters used teletype. I had one that did, well, of course, Morse code. And I had one that did Hellschreiber.
Oh,
and that was... So then I advanced into APRS because there's so many automatic ground stations everywhere. And then the Whisper mode, where once again you have a distributed network of ground stations to pick it up worldwide.
So yeah, I've had...
When I fly the Whisper balloon, you don't have to worry about keeping an archive data, because you'll likely get a report every day on Whisper mode from thousands of miles away, even though it's running 20 milliwatts on a solar powered transmitter.
So, Bill, I've had a number of people ask me about the Sky Tracker. Some people even in Europe, Germany, have been following this balloon. And I don't know if they sent you an email. They were going to get in contact with you. There's a lot of interest in the Sky Tracker. There's a person in the chat room right now asking where you can, how to get one or contact you or something. But
they can email me WB8ELK. At gmail.com. That's Whiskey Bravo 8. Let's see if we can get that in there. Can you see that?
No, not really. Not
contrast
really.
Good.
But you know what? I can do this, and I bet you it works better.
So WB8ELK at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Okay, there you go right there. And this is, there's a lot of great stuff out there on the web about Bill's balloon launches. He's done like 500 balloon launches. He's done everything from sending kitchen sinks up to cameras, everything up there.
That's similar. That's the balloon that your balloon was on that flew for 14 days.
That's similar to the balloon that right now is lost. Well, we don't know if it's lost or not. It might know how to get back, but right now we're hoping that balloon is still in the air off the West Coast, and we're hoping that we'll pop on the radar someday. Now, Bill, how long before we should give up that it's not going to make it back? What's the good?
Well, it'll probably show up 3 hours after the end of your show, like the last time.
Well, I've been looking at it. I'm thinking it could show up today, but it's starting to be nighttime. See, it's night, and it's not going to transmit tonight. Not over the U.S. anyway. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it won't show up while you're on the air.
Yeah.
They just...
All right, so You're going to do a balloon.
Dayton.
You're going to do one at Dayton, a balloon launch at Dayton, I guess sometime around noon on Saturday.
Actually, we've got a balloon sat forum at noon on Friday.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about a large ATV system and lots of trackers and cameras for a regular weather balloon flight, what it takes to put that all together. We're also going to talk about what it takes to put together a mobile tracking and recovery system for those who love to chase these balloons and bring them back. And in fact, the friend who's giving the talk, Shane Wilson, and for XWC, he's got tree climbing equipment. So if it lands 100 feet up in the tree, he'll go right up there and pick it out of the top of the tree with no problems. So he's got all that equipment. He does a lot of search and rescue, so this is just one thing to practice on. So he'll be talking about what he does to track and recover the big balloons that have all the expensive payloads and cameras. And then we'll have a talk on Pico balloons around the world, and we're going to do a 3 Pico balloon race and see who gets the farthest. We'll divide up into the 3 different teams, and we're going to launch 3 of those Pico balloons on the party balloons like yours did 2 weeks ago.
And is that going to be running? We'll is that running the Sky Tracker?
Yeah, we'll have those on each balloon, and we will either launch it directly after the balloon sat form somewhere around 2:30 on Friday, and if the weather is bad, which it often is at Dayton, the rain date will probably be around 11 a.m. or so on Saturday, because the balloon sat form is in room 5, which actually is a tent outside next to the main arena, one of the main arena buildings, which is a handy place to be if it's raining. I get a full crowd when that happens. And there's something called Ward W0AX is holding a HAM 2.0 lessons about all different aspects of ham radio, and I'm going to be at his booth on Saturday talking about what's involved in getting one of these balloons in the air, and we might actually fly a 4th one from his booth.
And
so
who is
we
that?
Look forward to seeing everybody and anybody at the Dayton Hamvention. It'll be a lot of fun.
What was your question, Katie?
Oh, I was asking, was that Ward in the photo?
No, that was Bill.
Oh, okay.
That's Bill launching a Pico.
All right. Well, I can't. It's a little hard to see.
Yeah, it's kind of small there. I mean, you know. But yeah, that's just what is up in the air right now. That's made it past Japan. We don't know where it is. So I'm going to give it another 3 or 4 or 5 days. And Bill, if it took, let me tell you, if it for some reason took that green line up, it might be more than 5 days before we see it.
Man. We'll see if Superman found it in his fortress.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going... isn't there an ozone hole at the North Pole? Maybe it's just going to go out. Helium will actually go into space. I don't know if hydrogen doesn't go into space, does it? It just kind of stay around in the atmosphere.
Oh, it probably would.
But helium, my learning about helium is it will actually leave the Earth's atmosphere and go into space. This is what I learned. Yep. Anyway. All right, man. I'm excited. So far, I'm excited that the thing has made it as far as it has. I'm excited about this is a new aspect of ham radio that I've gotten very interested in. And as we launch the next one, hopefully in the next couple weeks with Whisper, we'll still be blacked out during the nighttime, where it is during the nighttime, but we should get many more tracks across the ocean or across countries where there's not APRS. So I think the next one might be more exciting if it'll just stay up in the air, you know.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's see what else is going on. Rich has been sitting back real quiet there. Rich, what do you think about what do you think about this part of ham radio?
I think it's fantastic. I've been a big fan of ballooning ever since Bill was writing about it in CQVHF back in the 1990s. It's just combined so many elements of ham radio that it's just really fantastic. It's just and it's a great way to get young people involved. And but I mean, you got your tracking and digital stuff and just so many different aspects of ham radio come together in this one project to do a balloon launch and track. It's a wonderful, wonderful activity. And I applaud Bill for being the pioneer and leader in it. And I hope that he's developing a very large following who will continue this for many, many years to come. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Got a question in the chat room. It says, could you program the SkyTracker Pico APRS to transmit on the APRS satellite frequencies? Now, I'm a beginner, but you taught me the answer to this, but tell them why this, I guess this 25 milliwatt is not going to make it to the satellite. That I don't know.
Yeah, the answer is yes, it's completely frequency agile. I could put it on the satellite frequencies, but the path loss for that distance with that low of power typically would not be enough to be received by one of the new microsats that are up there with APRS. Although I have considered doing it, it might have success over the ocean where it's not competing with a lot of other signals. But it's not probably going to. I've talked to people at AMSAT about this. It's the path loss is probably going to be a little too much, well, unless I can create a little bit more power. But then I would have a bigger solar panel, and that would cause more weight. And it's a real battle with the amount of power you can produce versus the amount of keeping it as light as possible. In fact, you have to make it as light as possible, as humanly possible, and then try to make it half again as light. So that's the real, you have to come up with all kinds of different techniques. For example, the circuit board is about a third normal thickness. It's a very thin board. And you probably can't tell how thin it is, but it's a special order PC board from that I get from a board manufacturing house in China, and it's about a third its normal thickness, and that saves a lot of weight. And by the way, Rich, I have a super cap on the back.
Okay.
So since you have an article coming up on super caps, right. That is a half farad capacitor, and cool. That weighs 0.8 grams. There's a good picture of it. And it really helps with the solar panel efficiency, and particularly if there's a short dropouts.
All right, I'm excited. You know, this I just have confidence that our balloon is going to show up in a day or two. I think it's going to be there. And I mean, Bill, this thing could actually fall in my yard or your yard. It could.
Well, I actually launched one at the AMSAT conference last November. And so we all had, everybody came out in the parking lot, which was right next to Space Camp in Huntsville, Alabama. And that particular balloon was a new lighter weight version that I was testing, and it failed over Chattanooga. And it failed catastrophically, so the whole payload tumbled, and we didn't get very many reports on the way down. So I had a rough estimate that it was east of Chattanooga, but had no precise location. And 3 months later, I got an email, because I always put my email on the solar panels as a backup recovery system. The airport manager at a small airport called College Dell, Tennessee, said he found it underneath one of his airplanes in the tie-down area. Apparently it had been sitting in a tree for several months, and a storm blew it out, and it skirted across the runway and ended up under an airplane. And it was in perfect shape. He mailed it back to me, and I put it out in sunlight, and it started to transmit. It looked brand new. So I do get them back from time to time.
All right. Well, hey, let's talk a minute. We've got a few minutes left. Let's talk a minute. Maybe Katie can tell us what we're looking at here. I've got some pictures. I thought I'd just run through some ham invention pictures from last year.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing great, but just to talk a little about, we're coming up on hamvention here really soon. And let's see, we've got next week, we'll be live next week. And then the next Tuesday is the night before we leave on Wednesday. So we'll be loading the studio up in a truck.
Yeah.
We may have the camera on us loading the truck or something. We're not going to have a real show. But we're getting really close, and it's getting really exciting. I've got just a few, well, I got a bunch of pictures here. I'm going to go through them kind of fast, Katie. And Rich and Bill, if you guys see something about one of these pictures, say something. Some of them are about our booth and cube, but there's other things in here. So let's jump over there real quick, and let's just see what we got here. Well, first of all, does anybody know whose rover that is?
Yep, that's Andrea, K2EZ.
All right. I knew you would know that. I should know that.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that.
Ham chicks rule.
Yeah, so that's her rover right there. Now, where'd she drive it from?
New Jersey.
That's what, yeah.
It's her home base, but she works a lot in Texas, but I'm not sure. But she is from New Jersey.
Well, I'll tell you, from New Jersey to Dayton is about the same as it is from Memphis to Dayton. It's about a 9 or 10 hour drive. So
right.
That would probably scare a lot of people going down the road right now.
She usually she posts a lot of stories on Facebook periodically when she's been out and about with it, with the things that people say or do, and like she pulls into a restaurant or something, and
yeah.
it always makes for some fun storytelling, because people most people assume she's doing weather spotting,
yeah,
or storm chasing,
or the CIA or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Okay, these are no special order. There's Joe.
Jill.
And Jill. And some other guys there in our group. Let's see. Look at there. We got
Jerry and Amy.
Jerry and Amy and Katie, and I happened to sneak into that picture. That's Jerry. Is it Ellsworth?
Yep.
Ellsworth. She does a lot of building and design work in ham radio. Hey, there's our booth in building 2. So if you get up here, you'll know what it looks like. Come in real right at the door. You'll see us there. That's the crew that's been going with us the last couple of years. That's Walter on the right of the picture, and Thomas on the left side, and of course Kathy and me in the middle. Freddie, our friend Freddie used to come with us all the time, but he's changed jobs a few times, and he's not going to be able to make it. In fact, this year he can't make it. But Walter's standing in and going with us. Walter's our pilot friend. He flies the A300 Airbus. Look at that, there's Martin Jew. There's Martin Squared. There he is there. Martin's always a fun guy to talk to. And this is where the show probably went off the rails. But you guys look at me. I am so hot. I am so hot and so tired there. I told Katie, I said, you guys just take it. I'm going to walk away. And they didn't want me to leave, but I think I managed to scoot out of there. But
no, you didn't. Glenn and I made you stay. You were here, you guys take over. I'm going to go get a hamburger. He said,
yeah.
No, you're staying.
Well, there's Katie Squared right there.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't tell which one is Memorex and which one's real. Here's our friend, astronaut Doug Wheelock. I think this will be the 7th year that Doug will be with us. Astronaut Wheelock has spent a lot of time in space, and he's holding many high-level jobs with NASA now. And he's actually going to be, the last couple of years, he's been the director of NASA in Russia. They've given him a new job now. They're opening this, or have this new NASA facility, I think, in Cleveland. And Doug is going to be the director of the NASA office there in Cleveland. And those little kids right there, come every year to see him. The past 6 years they've been there, from when they were little bitty toddlers or less. I remember the first year before we put Doug up there to sign autographs, people were lining up. But actually, these kids and their mother lined up like an hour or 2 hours before Doug was going to be there, so they would have the number one spot. And they actually fell asleep on the concrete floor there inside of the Silver Arena at Hera. We usually, Doug signs a lot of autographs and stuff and talks with people. And it's really neat when he talks to a person. You know, a person to come up and talk to him. And even though it's almost the same conversation every time, Doug always speaks as if it were the first time that subject's come up. And he really likes meeting and talking with people. We usually try to do an hour or so on the show, and we open the chat room for people out there, you know, that are watching the show to be able to communicate and talk and ask questions. But there we are there. There he is signing a Boy Scout a picture there. You can tell he's a lefty. And let's see, there are some girls there. He's signing it for. Look at there. They're so proud to get these pictures that Doug signs here.
You can see the lines. Lefties are the only people in their right minds.
What is that? Say that again, Rich.
Lefties are the only people in their right minds.
Yeah. Well, you can see there's a long line there. It circles way back. And there they are. There are the little kids, the two kids again. Talking to Doug and getting their autograph. And Doug gets them a little patch for their suits and everything, you know. We work so hard, we almost cannot eat. Now, Rich, I don't know if it's like this for you, Katie. I don't know if at HRO, if they give you some time off, but we are jammed minute to minute trying to keep the show going, giving out prizes. And we might take 15 minutes to eat. I'll usually eat about three-fourths of a hamburger, and that's about all the time I've got. But even astronauts eat hamburgers.
Yeah, when you're working, it's, you know, there is no time generally, and every now and then you can sneak in a snack or something. I have a little more flexibility, of course, because my part of the job is not selling. I'm out, you know, out and about and doing things, so I generally can grab a snack a little easier. But I know my coworkers, we eat a big breakfast before the day goes, and they don't eat again until we go out to dinner in the evening. And there's been many ham fests. I'll try to sneak, literally like hide underneath a table to try to eat. And inevitably somebody will be leaning over and be like, oh, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, so, I know.
But it's okay. It's all part of it.
And you know what? And usually at the end of the day, you're so tired when you leave.
Oh, yeah.
You're almost too tired to eat. But and guys, our day's not over, because after the show, we go back to the hotel, and on the computer, we have to list the prizes for the winners. We have to do those kind of things. We're looking at the people that are going into the special donation for a prize. There's a lot going on that we do there. This girl here, I don't remember her name. I should. She came up to me, and she is from the local Dayton area. And she started a ham club at their junior high school. Nobody were hams. They didn't have any adults that were hams. She started this, and someone gave me a study book there, and I gave her this ham radio study book. We also signed her up with the Dayton Amateur Radio Association to get them on a mailing list and to get some contacts. And I would really like to find out how she did. It's been 1 year now. I think it's great that no experience, no licensed adults, she started a ham club with peers, you know, of her age there. There we go. I see Mark. Mark's in the chat room. Hello, Mark.
Here's Mark.
How you doing, Mark? N4BCD, Mark. He's the general chairman of the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest. And that's another great ham fest we'll be going to. It's about 3 months after the Dayton Hamvention, and it's just wonderful. We'll talk more about that later. It's wonderful. There's Katie in the back in the pit there. Looks like I was able to slip out a minute or two. And, of course, Katie, you know if I'm gone and you've got the mic, you have to stay till I come back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's okay.
You know that. You know. There we are outside. Boy, look at that. Nice, pretty day. Bill, it might be a little wind I see on the flag there, but that might be a good balloon launch day.
Yeah, yeah. That would be. There's no clouds and thunderstorms.
I'm looking at the buildings. I'm looking at the buildings here. Is that building 3 that I'm seeing on the left? No, the other. Okay. Well, I guess building 1, 2, and 3 is to the right of the picture, I'm guessing.
Or behind you.
I was trying to see if I could figure out which way the wind was blowing on the flag here, but that's not important. Look at there. Beautiful day, man. Beautiful day. This is the outside. This is where a lot of the food vendors are. This place is so scattered out in area that you're not in crowds like you were at Hera Arena. And there's a lot of food places out there. I got more on food here in a few minutes. The food is just really, really, really great there. I've got a video here in a minute, about a two-minute video that Jeff, N3VE, made. Maybe we'll show you some of the eating places here. Oh, look at there. There's the main star and Katie. She looks right at home there. And when I was gone, I didn't know all this was going on. But look, she looks right at home there. She's taking control over the show, doing a great job. Thank you, Katie. Some of our friends, Tommy and George, drop by. I usually see them every year. We'll usually grab them and pull them in there. Even Michael Coulter. Michael is the spokesperson. The official spokesperson for Hamvention is also on a board of directors or an officer at DERA. Yeah. And Michael and I have talked. Michael knows a lot of hams around the world, and Michael has been trying to come on our show. Michael's been trying to come on our show to have a segment about international and bring people in on a show, but he's been so busy, we've never got him into the show.
Michael also organizes the Dave Coulter Youth Adventure DX program every year. It's named in honor of his late brother. But he organizes a group of young hams to go to Central America for the expedition every year. It's a fantastic program.
Well, there he is with Harry and Drew. And I usually see those guys every year. And I've watched Drew grow up. Jerry, Amy, right?
Yep.
I get that right?
Yep.
Okay, there they are. Now, guys, this is our power to our booth right here. We have one spot. The power connector to the right, believe it or not, that runs all the switches for the entire internet for all of the fairgrounds. So if anybody makes us mad, all we got to do is pull out the plug on the right, guys, and nobody will have internet, okay? Nobody will.
Ruh-roh.
I think you got an armed guard there. Here it is behind our booth. You might wonder why our booth is kind of zigzagged. We've got the IT guy right behind our booth here that is supplying, you know, all the internet to everybody in all the different buildings, all the wired internet, plus all the Wi-Fi. There's a shot of the booth. It doesn't look like much, you know, before we set up. There's the famous W5KUB truck. And let me tell you, we've got 15... 12-volt serial lighter receptacles in there. We run so much stuff, it's unbelievable. Besides, you know, all the cell phones and tablets and GPS and multiple laptops and what am I leaving out? Oh, the Rig Pi, connection to the Rig Pi, and then I'm gonna take the IP radio for DMR and D-Star. All this stuff plugs in that truck, and we also got a 110-volt wired-in inverter in here. So we've got a lot going on in here. 4 of us will travel. We'll be on HF through RigPi. We'll be on DMR and D-Star through the IP radio, the DV Mega Cast. We will be streaming the drive live, and we'll also be in a chat room. So there's going to be a lot of communications going on around the world with us in that truck for 10 hours as we drive. So one of the flea market, one of the spaces outside the food, I think I recognize the shorts there.
Yeah, that's Gordo.
I think that's Gordo there, yeah. Yeah, I recognize the shorts, that's Gordo. But the food is just, let me tell you, the food is 1,000,000% better than it was at Hera. You can get steaks here, pork chops, anything. And I felt really bad when I bought Hera. I bought Astronaut Wheelock a hot dog there from a hot dog stand, and he had been eating it out of a toothpaste tube for like 6 months, and I think the toothpaste tube was much better than a hot dog was. But first class food here, man. First class food. It is.
I'm going to have to jump out, everybody.
Okay. So,
great being with you, and look forward to seeing a lot of you in Dayton in just a couple weeks.
Rich, we will see you later. And even though you leave us, I have a couple pictures of you coming up in here.
Okay.
At the CQ booth. 73. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh, let's see. There's Ohio Sound. Now, Ohio Sound was in Building 5 the last couple years. That's the building we started off in. It's a little small building. We moved into Building 2 a couple years ago. And that's the building where Dara is, where ICOM is. And Bob has moved into Building 2 this year. Bob will be our neighbor next door to us in Building 2 there with Ohio Sound. Going outside, you can see, the first year, they were kind of caught off guard with the heavy rain. We had heavy, heavy rains the first year up there. They thought that the ground was packed enough, but so many people got stuck and it became so muddy, they had to do something. So what they did, they put asphalt, little asphalt streets in out there between the flea market areas. And this seemed to work pretty good last year. You could stay on them and not really get wet. And I think that took care of a lot of people getting stuck and having problems. But that's some of the outside there. There's Jeff in 3VE there. I really thank the people that come by and help like this because it gives me a break. And there we go, off the rails. Glenn off the rails Popel right there. Glenn off the rails Popel. And he's in the chat room tonight, so... Everybody, just say hello to Glenn off the rails tonight.
Glenn will be signing books also.
Yeah, and there I am again.
With some of the other authors.
I'm trying to sneak out around the back there. Here's, this is probably setup day. This is, I think, Quicksilver here in one of the buildings. Yezu's starting to set up there. You can see the make of the buildings here. They're small or metal buildings. Not like all the big buildings that were connected at Hera, but it's still very functional. This tower, they bring this tower every year. For as many years, as many years as I can remember, they have brought this tower up here. This is a massive tower. I don't know how many thousands of pounds it weighs, but it's motorized. You can see the winch. You can see the winch on the top right there. This is a motorized, I have no idea how high it is. There we go. There's Rich in the CQ booth there. There's Tommy. There's Kathy and Jeff there in our booth. Again, outside, this is kind of in the center. This is in the center of all the buildings. The flea market is down toward the end. This is a very nice, clean area out there. Colonel Wheelock again. On the show. Here's our friend Stefan from Italy, and they make the Messi cable, M-E-S-S-I cable. And he's showing some of their flexible cable there. This is kind of equivalent to your LMR 400 type cable, or better. Tommy and George again. Oh, now you can see, like we were talking before, every hamvention, you're going to get sunshine, a little bit of rain, a little bit of something. So you can see it rained a little bit, but it's not pouring down there. It's decent. You know, the access to the building, we were in that building there, and when it became time to load up, look how close we were able to bring our truck up there. Well, very convenient to load and unload. The way they got the parking now, The parking for the vendors is you can park right there at the building, so that's kind of cool. And you can get in and out during the day too. They've got that kind of cornered off where, you know, at Dera, you couldn't drive in after the show opened and you couldn't leave until the show closed, basically. But here, the vendors can go in and out without any issue. There we go again. A shot with our cameraman, Thomas, there. You can see he's busy there. Glenn off the rails, propel again. Dave made it last year. Dave Kassler made it. I need to check with Dave. I haven't heard from him in a few weeks. Dave and his wife are involved in some type social activities and music and things, and he's not been able to be with us. But we'll be checking to see when Dave can get back with us. Josh, on our show, if you know Josh is going to drop in this year with us. He'll be Dayton, and you will see him in a booth. You'll see this person in the booth, I hope she comes by. Another outside shot, nice day. There we go, another shot of Rich there from CQ. Elcraft, we got umbrellas up now, but that's okay. And that may be the end of that. Now, let's see, I've got a couple of other things here just to mention. Let me see if I can pull them up here real fast. I've already told everybody that Colonel Wheelock will be with us. He's coming in Friday evening. He'll be with us Saturday. So come by and see Doug. Also we've got Jet Jurgensmeyer, K-E-0-U-W-Z. You guys may know him as Boyd Baxter on the TV show Last Man Standing. He's going to come by and be with us a while and get on our show. But he's recently licensed him. And his dad recently got their license. Dad is Scott, K-E-0-U-Y-U-W-Y. And, of course, Jet there is K-E-0-U-W-Z. So they're going to be with us. So come by and see them there. Just a couple quick announcements real quick. Memphis Bicentennial is coming up in May 17th through 31st. 200 years in Memphis. There will be a special event station there you can work, and you can get the information there if you just go to QRZ, and I think you can look at call up W4M. And of course, again, we're going to be streaming big time. We've got our own DMR talk group. We're going to be on DMR. We're going to try to move a bunch of people over to that. We're on DMR talk group 31693. For amateur radio roundtable, we'll be using the MFJ Rig Pie. There it is right there. And there's another shot of it right there. It's called MFJ 1234. And that's because it's as easy as 1234 to operate. So that's about most of the things I wanted to talk about tonight. Let me just mention one more thing about ICOM. They asked me to mention, if you want some ICOM swag out there between April 16th through the 19th. If you're going to Hamvention, you can be one of the lucky winners to take home a limited edition swag kit. So visit ICOM's website to enter in a swag contest. You can do that by going to www.icomamerica.com/amateur. You might win a swag kit. I think they'll be giving those away there at Hamvention. They're going to be right down the hall from us in the same room there. So, what do you think, Katie? Are you getting excited about going? Where'd Katie go?
I did it again. I was on mute and started talking.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right there. That's all right.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I got my new shirts for this year. Came in, and we're wearing red this year.
Are you?
And, yep. Red shirts this year.
Well, you know, when you come down to the W5KUB.com booth, you'll have to change shirts into one of our shirts. But we haven't had any shirts made yet, so you know, you may not have.
Well,
to
then I better keep my shirt on.
Yeah, you better. Or we well, I won't. Bill, how you doing, Bill? You You're looking forward to being up here? What day will you arrive?
I'll probably come in Thursday night, Thursday afternoon.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, you know where we're going to be, and I want everybody to come by and see us. Let me...
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, I was going to... Well, I can't bring it up now. I was going to show everybody where we are on a map, but... Here we go. Let me bring a map up since we've been talking about it, and I'll show everybody kind of the general layout here. So we are 16 days, 10 hours, 22 minutes from the start, and we leave 2 days before that. So we're leaving in 14 days. So it's going to be interesting. Let's go up here and look at vendors. We're an inside. We've got an inside vendor spot. Let's go to inside vendors. Let's go down here and look at a map. Let's do a
building two.
Let's see if we can do vendor parking. 2018 building overview. I guess this is it right here. That's a picture taken during dark. Oh, okay. The sun came up. Yeah. So here's this basic layout, guys. Here on the left is building one. In the center is building two. Now we are in building two. Right here, I don't know if you can see the mouse. I'll wiggle the mouse a little bit. Yeah, we're right here in this area. We've got this area between the two doors. So we're in building two in the Tesla building. There's building three. And then on down, we got building four and five, I think. And then over here on the bottom left, they have so many inside vendors, they didn't have enough building for them. So they put up this massive big tent. And these people are considered inside vendors over here at the massive tent. All the way down on the very right end, the start of the flea market, that's the racetrack down there, and the flea market is out in the center of the racetrack. Also, there's a little bit of flea market down here at the bottom here out in the open. But again, all the food vendors are in the center here. There's a covered a thing with picnic tables where people can eat. I thought it was right in here somewhere, right in this area. I guess it's not shown here. But all the food vendors are out here, and it makes it real handy to get around the center, and it just makes it real handy to get around. Buildings. Let's look at the flea market real quick. We're going to look at the flea market vendors. So we'll go outside to the flea market. And I think this is the map right here. Nope. Clicked on the wrong one. This is the map right here. Well, I guess I don't know where the map is. Oh, it's right here. Flea market map. Flea market full map. Okay, I found it. That's during a snowstorm right there. Okay. Here we go. So what you see here for Hamvention, this doesn't look very much like you saw before, but that's building one, two, and three at the top, right there. This is the center where all the food vendors are. Some of the other smaller buildings down here. And then down here on the east end, let's see if I can show you. This is the actual flea market now on the east end. And that is actually a horse racetrack that horses run on. And they they're using that for the outside flea market, which is pretty neat. All right. Guys, that's about all I know tonight. Did you have a good time, everybody?
I hope Katie? So. It seems like it. Everybody's Bill? Still talking about food in the chat room here. And then Bob just...
Well, you know what? I tell you what, it didn't used to be a great part of hamvention, but food is a great part of hamvention now. I can say that. I'm gonna put this on. This lasts about 2 minutes.
Food is love.
I'm gonna put this on. It's 2 minutes. If you guys get tired, sleepy, you can leave. But hey, this is outside. This is a clip that our friend Jeff N3VE, and this is right outside in the middle. You'll see some of the food places.
Well, since the sun's out, let's take a look outside at all the food vendors. This is a big improvement over the High Arena food. Steak on a stick, $8. Just give you an idea where we are. The flea market is that way. And there's quite a few food vendors there turning this way. This is, I think that's building number 3. And building number 2 is in the middle. That's where Tom set up. Building one, number 1. I can just walk down this way. It's a nice crowd. I don't think it's as crowded as it was yesterday. There's an interesting sight. This guy's been here, coming here for years. So it's very nice when the weather's nice. This is kind of the center of the location. More food vendors here. It smells real good. There's a lot of outdoor seating. There's some tented seating over here. More food vendors. I'll take you to one of my favorite locations. They make the homemade ice cream here with an interesting antique, I believe what they call a hit and miss John Deere engine. And it should be running, but your first aid station. More food. Seating, outdoor covered seating for when it rains. That gets pretty full. Actually quite full now. Let's see if I can get close up of this. They're not making ice cream right now, but they do leave the engine running. So the engine only fires based on load, so there's really no load on it right now. So we're getting one off maybe every 2 seconds or so, maybe 3.
You can't beat it.
No, you can't beat that. These giant flywheels keep this thing moving. It just don't let it run out of water, or it will, it'll seize up.
I suppose the only way you can beat it is take the same engine with an open crankshaft.
I believe I was told this was built in the early 30s. And we'll come back out here. All sorts of food. They do serve beer here. There's the beer ladies. There's a couple different stations. Oh, say hi.
Hi,
come get a beer. Come get a beer, right? Hi. All right, we'll stop here.
All right, I think we're back. Boy, makes me hungry just thinking about that. Mm. All right, guys, we've really gone over a little bit tonight. Whoa, I just lost Katie and Bill. I just lost this. It just disappeared all of a sudden. I lost the connection. Perfect timing. I'll say save me three to everybody. Good night. Glad you tuned in tonight on the show. Enjoyed having you, and we'll see you guys next week.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer comes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.
All right, good night, everybody. Enjoyed it.